Let's pray quickly. Father, thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for the time we get to be together. I thank you for the fact that we got to sing about you. Right now, please be with me as I bring this message, Father, and help us to look on this story, this little story in this song, and see the truths and the beauty from the lyrics and what lies within it, God. And help us to realize you gave us your best, and help us to bring our best to you. In name I pray. Amen. So what a cool song, right? It's a beautiful story about a little boy traversing the hills. It was shot in Wyoming, I found out, because I was like, man, I want to go wherever that was. It's a pretty awesome place, the foothills of Wyoming. The story is not a story of truth. It's a parable. It's a fictional story. I know sometimes you see the little drummer boy kind of put inside the nativity scene, which is okay. I mean, plausibly, Jim and I were talking. There could have been a little drummer boy somewhere, right? But he wasn't mentioned in Scripture. There wasn't anything about some little boy coming and playing by Jesus. Let's think about it. In all practical terms, I heard a pastor say, in the history of mankind, ever has there been a woman that had just had a baby that would invite a young boy to come bang on his drum while the baby's sleeping, right? I mean, so the plausibility is probably not there, but the story is still cool and still beautiful. That somebody would pursue after worship so hard that they would go on this journey. It's kind of set where the wise men, the story tells, are about to go, and the little boy finds out, and so he wants to go and bring whatever he has, and he doesn't have a lot. There's some qualities that we can glean just from the little story that the little drummer boy has that we should have. And here's what I put down. I was like, first of all, he had faith. Faith to go on a journey. Faith to go chase after something that he hadn't seen yet, but that he knew was real. He had humility. He knew that he was nothing but a poor boy with nothing of real importance to offer other than the simple little thing that he had was his drum. He was determined. He was willing to take the long, difficult journey. He was fearless. In the midst of a war raging around him in this particular video, he is laser focused to go and do what he is going to do, which is worship. And that's the last thing he is. Above all, the little drummer boy was a worshiper. He wanted to bring his best to Jesus. And all he had to offer was his drum. But through the wars raging around him, which is not unlike we find ourselves in today, it doesn't matter whether they're conflicts we're dealing with, internal, external, or the fact that our friends and enemies are purged for war, whether it's in Europe on the border of with Russia, whether it's in China and Taiwan, it doesn't matter. There are these potential kindles just ready to ignite around our world. But we can be just like him and be focused on the thing that matters most and be worshipers. Getting a good gift is awesome, isn't it? Getting a good gift is awesome, but it's even better when you get to give a gift. Now, kids, I know you're thinking, no, it's much better to get, all right? It's much better to get. I like it when Santa brings me something. But as you move a little further in your journey, you find out that it's just as fun or maybe more fun to be the gift giver. But what do you give somebody that has absolutely everything? So I have two examples in my own life of people trying to give gifts to people that have absolutely everything. And through my teaching career, I had two different women that were, one was married to a former NFL player. And she would tell me, man, it's hard. You know, he's got everything. You know, he was a lineman, he played for Miami, he retired after about 10 years, he can fly and go play golf wherever he wants around the world with his buddies after a phone call, he can purchase whatever car he wants. She goes, it's hard for me at Christmas. So what we try to do is we just try to spend time with each other. And then the other one, she was the girlfriend of a famous Astros pitcher back in the first time they went to the World Series. And I think her struggle was a little more difficult because she was just the girlfriend, right? She was trying to stay in the game, so to speak, right? She knew she had to have some sort of gift to bring to this party, but the guy had everything. And I remember one time bringing me a catalog because I'm kind of an outdoorsman, and she's like, look at these knives. Do you think he'd want one of these knives? And it was a $600 knife. I know what she made. She was like a second year teacher. A $600 knife, and it had a nice handle, and she was going to engrave his name and her name on it. And I'm like, hey, would he like it? Yes. Would I buy it? No. But it's hard to bring a gift to somebody that has absolutely everything. And that's where we find ourselves in this story. Jesus ultimately has everything. Look, the wise men tried, right? I mean, they brought the A game when it came to gift giving. They brought their best. Here's what it says in Matthew 2, and just verse 11, it says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And we know, as the story goes, these gifts would have absolutely been vital to Mary and Joseph and to Jesus as far as being able to have some money and some riches and wealth to be able to flee and go to Egypt. And it was probably where they used a lot of the funds. But let's go through those gifts and let's just look at really how ultimately insignificant they would be to Jesus. They have great spiritual meanings and representations, and I'm not trying to take the beauty away from it. Frankincense and myrrh were expensive fragrances and oils. They come from certain trees that are really kind of in the Arabian Peninsula. And the people of the day were very wealthy. It was more valuable than gold, as a matter of fact. Because the trees only grow in a certain area, and they would harvest the sap and the oils, and they would sell it and trade it. And so it was a big deal to get it. But here's what frankincense is. Frankincense is a fragrance. It goes in soaps and lotions, even used today. People burn it to get their anxiety and their depression down. It kind of senses them as an essential oil. But the fact is, in heaven, where Jesus is now, there is no anxiety or depression. And then you look at myrrh. Myrrh was used as a sacred ointment and a sacred oil to use in all sorts of spiritual and religious ceremonies. It was also had healing and medicinal purposes and was used for embalming. But there is no sickness or death in heaven. And then gold. We know how valuable gold is because we still trade and use gold today. Some of you are wearing gold. But the fact of the matter is, to Jesus today, gold is just asphalt. The gifts were good. They were the best they could bring. But ultimately, even gifts fit for a human king were inadequate for a savior of the world, savior of the universe. What does a best gift look like? I've gotten some good gifts in my time. I don't know if you could think we could go through, and I'm sure if I asked every single person, we could all name that like special Christmas gift. I remember one of mine was a really special Christmas gift, but I accidentally walked in on my dad putting it together and Christmas morning, and then it became very sad. But anyway, long story short, we all remember a very special Christmas gift, whether it's something that Santa brought us, whether it's parents, whether it's something later on in adulthood. We can think of that special gift for us in human terms. And we can think of those special gifts we've given to people, things that we've been excited about. Maybe you've had something for a long time that you're just compelled to give it, and you're intense about giving it, and you want to see them open it up and enjoy it. Those are really cool moments, whether it's for a young child or for adult or that special person in your life that gets a $600 knife, which I don't still understand. But our best is difficult when it comes to Christ, because so often what we think is an important gift in human terms truly isn't that important when it comes to spiritual things. Let me give you two examples from the Bible, two biblical examples of what it's like, because there's a big difference between giving our best and bringing our best to Him and then just handing Him our leftovers, right? The kind of forgotten stuff, or what we've got kind of left over with our time or our energy or our finances. That's what we find ourselves doing often. Let's go back to the very beginning. The actual first recorded incident of worship and of gift giving to the Lord in Scripture. Let's go back to Cain and Abel and let's see what he says. In Genesis chapter 4, it says, "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is to have you, but you must rule over it.'" You see, Abel's gift was better because of his integrity. There's much discussion, there's much debate on what was so bad about Cain's gift. People have tried to make it about being a living sacrifice versus a non-living sacrifice, about whether it was from his first fruit and actually the best of his crops, because it's mentioned about Abel taking the fat portion from his. It doesn't really matter exactly why. What we know for certain is that God was displeased with Cain's attempt to bring a gift to him, to bring an offering. And he was pleased with Abel's. If you go to Hebrews 4, this is where we can get that confirmed. In Hebrews 4, that wonderful chapter that talks about faith, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended, as righteous. And then when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Martin Luther said, over 500 years ago, he said, what made Abel's gift better than Cain's was the integrity of the person bringing the gift. There was something about the way that Abel brought his gift that was pleasing to God. Maybe his life, maybe his heart, maybe his intention, maybe Cain really just was doing it out of obligation to match his brother. And we see later on that Cain, in his conversation with God after he is found to murder his brother, he's not really repentant. He's worried about what's going to happen to him. He says, they're going to kill me, God. And God says, oh, no, they're not. But he's not really even repentant about what he does. There was a difference. There was a heart issue in the way Cain brought his gift compared to the way Abel brought his gift. And here's one of my favorite. In Mark chapter 12, we see the recount of Jesus watching the widow giving her offering. Tell me if this isn't bringing your best. In verse 41, it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the treasury. Now listen, just stop there. We could preach on that if this was a tithing message. Jesus stopped and he watched and he observed how people were putting their offering in the plate. And you see here, he's not worried about how much. He's just watching to see how they put their offering in the plate. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything. Underline that if you've got your physical Bible with you. Put in everything, all that she had to live on. Here you see Jesus watching people come, and obviously through pomp and circumstance, they were recognized as being rich and putting large amounts in. If Jesus could see that it was large amounts, I'm sure everybody else could see that it was large amounts. And so kind of getting the cred for going to the temple and depositing their wealth in there. And then you've got this poor, innocent, lowly widow. Because remember, in these times, to be a widow was not a good thing. You didn't have anybody to take care of you. You didn't have an income. She basically scratched together just two little copper coin pieces. But when Jesus sees that, knowing that it's out of all that she had and that it was her giving everything, her giving her absolute best as opposed to her leftovers like the rich people, it says that, man, her treasure was even bigger than theirs. Her contribution was more because it was everything that she had. Are you giving your leftovers or are you giving your best? If we were to have a party or to invite some friends over to our house, or if you hosted Thanksgiving dinner, or if you're going to host a big Christmas dinner, would you give your leftovers to the people coming in? Would you go into the fridge and find those three pieces of pizza that are like stuck to the bottom of that greasy cardboard box and say, hey guys, happy Thanksgiving. Kind of pull them apart, you know, where the cardboard kind of sticks to it. Would you go in there and find all the little white styrofoam containers from the meals that you took home, the leftovers from the restaurants you went to over the weekend, and say, hey guys, let's have here's a enchilada over here. Here's some mashed potatoes here. Of course not. And nor would you go to that very bottom shelf. You know, we always have one where we take all the leftover foods from the meals we prepare and we're like, I can't throw it away. There's some beans left in there. So we put them in little sealed containers and we stuff them And then we stuff them. And like 4 days later, we look and then we're like, oh, we'll just stuff them. We'll make something new. And like 2 weeks later, you're like, I got to clean the fridge because literally there's so many leftovers that I'm not going to eat it. Would we pull those out and serve those to our guests? No, we would give them the best. We would make a banquet for them. In the same way Scripture says that God's preparing a banquet for us, a table, a feast. He's not throwing some leftovers out for us. The very nature of what this holiday season is about Him giving our best. So why is it that we so often, and I say we, because I am just as guilty of all the things I'm about to list as you, so nobody get their feelings hurt, or maybe you should get your feelings hurt, I don't know. But why do we so often give God our leftovers? We can get to work on time because we get a paycheck and we'll get fired. We can attend work on a regular basis because we get a paycheck. And if we don't show up, we'll get fired. But when it comes to worship, it's easy to come in late. It's easy to hang out outside. Or even maybe worse, it's easy to show up but not actually be present in spirit. To be so distracted by everything else going around us that we come to this place, we kind of just sit there, and we're not actually engaged and giving our best in worship. Maybe it's the fact that we spend so much money on all the hobbies that we have. We have hobbies that we pour money into. We have activities that we enjoy that we pour money into. We have vehicles that we'll pour money into. We have clothes and furniture and all these things that we'll pour money into, but yet we feel so awesome when we put a couple 20s in the offering plate. There's nothing wrong with putting 20s in the offering plate. The widow only put in a couple of cents. The amount isn't what is important. It's the choice to give your best gift. Maybe it's the fact that we give huge blocks of time. Huge, massive blocks of time to watch our favorite millionaires take inflatable pieces of leather and throw them through metal hoops. Or to kick or run or catch with them. We will spend hours and hours watching these people who have much more than us. That are playing children's games for the most part. And I enjoy watching this stuff, don't get me wrong. But then we struggle to give 10 or 15 minutes to reading scripture or to having a time of prayer or reflection each day. There's something different about giving our leftovers. And maybe if we really looked, it's not that we give so much time to youth sports or weekend trips. In all seriousness, I think for many of us, what we're giving to God would come in a hard second to things like watching CNN or Candy Crush or how much time we spend on TikTok or YouTube. Where is the value in what we are bringing to the Lord? You can tell what's most important to you. I can tell what's most important to me by what I give my best to do. By what I give my time and my efforts and my energy to, I know. I can do some self-reflecting and I can really find out if I measure all those things, what is it that matters most? What do I give my best to? Here's what I know. He gave His best to us. He gave His absolutely best to us. Jesus is not leftovers. This entire holiday season is about God giving His best to us. And just like the drummer boy wants to come with his drum and give his best, God, and the champion of the entire universe, gave His best. Listen, there's not anything our little human hands could create, make, gather, collect, and then take and give back to God that would make it an amazing gift physically. Of our own will, of our own might, the things that we have or could collect or do, because they're all His to begin with. We could go and collect all the precious stones from the earth and He'd go, oh my goodness, you see what else I have in all the planets. We could make and create things and He's like, I made the universe. I clapped my hands and it was so. He's not interested in the physical things we try to give out of what we have in our abundance. He's not interested in our leftovers. What He really wants is He wants us to give our best. And to give our first fruit. Whatever it is we have, He wants us to give the best of it. And He wants to see us have the integrity to choose to do that for Him. The entire purpose of this holiday that we celebrate, just like I said earlier, isn't isn't about the decorating. It isn't about the songs. It isn't about anything but the baby Jesus. It isn't about anything other than what this little child would do, coming in human form, incarnate, and what he would eventually do on the cross for us. James 1:16 says this, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures." Do you realize that? He chose us over everything else in the entire universe. He chose us and our humanity to make us the thing that's most important to him. That he would give his only son. That's the best. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Because he wanted to pursue us. And I ask you, if he pursues us so hard, how do we pursue him back? He wants you to come with your best. And the good news, it's something that we all have. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a lot or you have a little. It doesn't matter whether you're a gifted musician or you're a gifted administrator or that you're good at making things or fixing. It doesn't matter. Our best is our best, and we all share that in common. We all possess the best us. The beauty of the body of Christ is that it looks different amongst all of us. As I pivot, and I was talking to my friend this morning, Steve, listen, it's beautiful how we're all created different. Some of us are made to be rigid people that like to follow these linear arguments, and some of us are free-spirited. Some of us, even as musicians, can kind of just improvise, and some of us just want to follow the notes. We're all different. We're all unique. We're all beautiful in the way we have. But the difference is who brings their best. While it looks different, it's actually always the same. He requires nothing more from you than he requires from me. It's simply, just like the widow, everything. I don't know what your best looks like. I don't know what the best you looks like when it comes to what you do for your community. But I know that in Scripture we're told to love God and to love our neighbors. And in the same way that we don't want to give our leftovers to God, we don't want to give the leftovers to the community, because we're supposed to emulate the gift giving that God did for us. And he gave us the best. And so therefore, when we go out into the world and when we interact with the community and when we love on people or do ministry from the church or from our individual abilities, we need to give our best to them too. And is that time? Is it compassion? Is it gifting somebody money? Is it spending time next to a homeless guy at a campfire outside while we're having a program? What is it that's our best? I talked to the fellow that was out there. And some of you, he came in late and I spent a little time with him. And then I spent a lot of time with him after everybody else left. And I thought to myself as I was preparing this, did I give my best to him? I got him some food, but I didn't go buy him a feast. I spent a little time with him. I didn't stay with him all night. You see, there are always ways we can be convicted to give more and to give our best to somebody. I can be jaded and say, oh man, I know what this is going to end up. If I give him something, it's just going to get ruined. If I give him the best meal, he's not going to appreciate it. Let me give him some. Or I can say, you know what? I am nothing but a poor pauper myself. I am nothing but a homeless beggar in this universe compared to what God has, and yet he chose to give me his best. Who am I? Who am I to judge what I'm giving to someone else? You see, as we continue on in our journey and our spiritual walk, we can say to ourselves, hey, where am I now and what is my best now, but what is my best at the next level need to be? I've been here and I've brought my drum, but now what's the next thing that I can give to the Lord? What's the next thing that I can do? I do know what your best looks like for the Lord. When it all comes down to it, the best is simply us believing in and belonging to and giving him our best us. I always say this, God is not in love with a future version of you. He's not in love with the future version of you. You can't go off and recreate yourself better to make him love you more. He loves you just as much now as he's going to love you when you think you're going to get better or when you make a worse decision. He loves you now in the moment, and he is not in love with some future version of you. He wants you now. You can't go off and create a better you so you can give a better gift to him. What he actually wants is you to be his now and to give you his best in this moment. The little drummer boy dropped everything to follow the wise men to go to the side of Jesus on a long journey. Are you willing to drop everything to give your best to him now? Not to plan it all out in your humanity and figure out what's coming. There's been, in this past year, a lot of just examples in our own life as we've gone through and we've experienced some death in our family and we've experienced some people with sickness and things like that. And I've had friends and family that it just seems like it's popping up. And man, if it was ever more true to me and a realization to me is life is short. Your moments are few. And the course of your existence, being here on this earth, what you can and will do, what you choose to do, how you choose to serve or not serve, those moments are fleeting. There's a famous rap artist, and he says, and it's kind of morbid, but he says, hey, every day you're closer to your funeral. Every day. Every day is a moment missed or a moment capitalized on whether or not you're going to give your best. As I close here in a moment and the worship team comes up, he's not interested in leftovers. In the same way that you would not prepare a feast of styrofoam boxes and old crusty pizza for your guest, he is not interested in receiving just a portion of your gifts. He gave every single one of us, if you're a believer in this room, he gave you at least one, and most of us, because I know you, multiple spiritual gifts. He gave you the ability to do some things really well based upon your shape, upon your hobbies and your experiences and your spiritual gifts. He gave you those things. He just wants you to return those at the level of best. He doesn't ask you to be perfect. He doesn't ask you to be polished. He doesn't say there's not going to be failures. He just says, come, like the widow, like Abel, with your best gift. And he wants us to recognize, most of all, this holiday. We spend a month on it. A month. Some of us more, obviously, at Hobby Lobby. We spend a month celebrating the one singular fact that the God of the universe chose to give us his best. He simply wants us to do the same in return. As the worship team plays, I'm going to pray for us here in a moment, and I'll be up front. And if you need to spend some time at your seat or coming forward as we stand, to just ask, am I giving my best? Is there more that I can give? Is there more that I can give best to you, God? Is there more that I can do best for the people around me? Where do I need to show my compassion and love for my community? Where do I need to be a worshiper of you? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a little story that came from 1940, God, of about a little drummer boy. A parable, God, that we can apply to our own hearts. We're just poor. We really have nothing of any ultimate value to the creator of the universe, God, except knowing that you chased after us, except knowing that you pursue us constantly, and the thing that brings you most joy is us coming to you and accepting and loving you. Help us to be obedient to you, God. Not obedient to follow a bunch of rules, but obedient so that you'll put us in the places you want us to be. Help everybody to come now and worship you with their best. In your name I pray.